A reading from 1 Thessalonians, the 4th chapter. But we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about those who are asleep, that you may not grieve as others do, who have no hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep. For this we declare to you by a word from the Lord, that we who are alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of an archangel, and with the sound of the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will always be with the Lord. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. O Lord, have mercy on us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The word Advent is transliterated from a compound Latin word, the preposition ad, which means to or toward, along with the verb veni, which means to come, ad veni or adventus. The season of Advent, then, is a season in which we focus on the coming to us or toward us of our Lord. Although you couldn't tell from the culture around us, this season is not focused primarily on Christmas, not even more precisely on the incarnation of our Lord. The Church remembers and celebrates the coming of the Son of Man in human flesh for 12 days, beginning on the 25th day of December. Though because it marks such a momentous event, the Church can't wait and begins the celebration already on the 24th, the eve of the incarnation of our Lord. The chief focus of the season of Advent is on two, or perhaps three, other comings of the Lord. One of these is his second coming at the end of time, the return of Christ in glory to judge the living and the dead. As the hymn, The Advent of Our King, puts it, as judge on clouds of light, he soon will come again, and his true members all unite with him in heaven to reign. This is a coming that was very much before us in the closing weeks of the church year, as we heard Jesus speak in parables concerning the wedding feast and faithful servants and the separation of sheep and goats. Another coming of Jesus that Advent would have us consider is his continuing coming to us in word and sacrament to forgive us, to strengthen us, to sustain us in the faith as we wait for the return of our King. In our text from 1 Thessalonians this evening, St. Paul raises another coming when he writes of those who have fallen asleep. Now, of course, strictly speaking, death isn't a coming of the Lord, but rather his calling believers to come to him. Nevertheless, there is no real difference between preparing for the Lord's coming again at the end of time and preparing for his call through the sleep of death. Indeed, St. Paul ties these two together when he writes of the Lord descending from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of an archangel, and with the sound of the trumpet of God, coming to awaken the dead in Christ and catch believers who had not died together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. You will experience no disadvantage, he says, if you die before that day.
but no advantage either. At the Lord's coming, whether you are dead or alive, Christ will gather all people to himself, and all of his people will be with him forever. St. Paul wants this truth concerning the return of the King, the coming of Jesus on the last day, to be spoken and heard and remembered by God's people. Therefore, encourage one another with these words, he writes. Encourage one another that your King is coming back, that he will gather all his people, whether sleeping or awake, to be with him, to be with him forever. There is much that we don't know about death and about Christ's return, not least their timing. Jesus makes that very clear. Concerning that day or that hour, no one knows. You do not know when the time will come. Nevertheless, you do know that it will come. And you do know that for those who trust in Christ, it will be a day of joy and gladness, the end of all trouble and all sorrow. And so as you encourage one another with God's certain promises, you will also want to prepare for that day. Prepare so that you are and remain in Christ while you await his call and his coming. How does one prepare? The poet in the hymn we just sang describes a number of ways. The advent of our King, our prayers must now employ, and we must hymns of welcome sing and strains of holy joy. Your prayer must be the continual prayer of the church. Come, Lord Jesus, stir up your power, O Lord, and come, that by your protection we may be rescued from the threatening perils of our sins and saved by your mighty deliverance. Stir up our hearts to make ready the way of your only begotten Son, that by his coming we may be enabled to serve you with pure minds. Of course, with might of ours could not be done. So many important things this month compete to sideline the one thing needful. We require the Spirit and the Lord to prepare us and sustain us in the faith so that we are ready for his call, ready for his return. This is sufficient rationale for the midweek Advent services and special devotional booklets that are a traditional part of our Advent piety. It is as Christ comes to us in his word and dwells in us that he makes us prepared. The poet also writes, before the dawning day, let sin's dark deeds be gone, the sinful self be put away, the new self now put on. God's word in this season, particularly the law that echoes through the centuries from the wilderness on the banks of the Jordan, calls us to recognize our sin. You have failed, John the Baptizer proclaims. You have failed to love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind. And you have also failed to love your neighbor as yourself. So repent, he says. Turn away from your selfishness and self-centeredness. Turn to God, who is gracious and merciful, who is eager to forgive you your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Return to your baptism by daily repentance and contrition. Drown the old Adam with all his sins and evil desires. Be cleansed again by the blood of the Lamb of God who takes away your sin and covers you in his own perfect righteousness and innocence. Rejoice. Your King, your Savior, is coming. Coming to set you free from toil and sorrow, coming to gather you and all of the faithful, coming to wake the dead, coming to take you and all who have trusted in him to heaven, to reign with him in eternal glory. Rejoice and encourage one another with these words. Amen. Please rise. Now to him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen.